All right, I want to start by talking about favorite childhood songs. Anybody got one? Holler it out. Come on. Yeah, like a favorite childhood song. Come on. Jesus Loves Me. There's the classic. That's a good one. I love the original too, and I used to sing that one with my boys when they were really young. I think now they would be like, "Dad, be quiet." But I have like a remix that I did when I used to work inner city work, and man, I love that version of that song too. So I love that one. Anyone else got favorite childhood songs? This Little Light of Mine. Oh, there's this group when I was a teenager called Rhythm and News. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of them in here, but it's like this group of guys, and they don't use music. They only like use their mouths to make sounds and stuff. And like me and my brother thought we were Rhythm and News, and they did a version of it. So good. So good. Anyways, online, throw up in the comments, Facebook Live this morning. I'm going to be in there. Let's hear some of your favorites. Let me tell you one of my favorites. It goes like this. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. Some of you got it. You know what I'm saying? Did you guys teach that to kids here at Fort Alliance? Did you? You were in Saskatchewan then. Come on. Any old timers? I mean that in a very respect. Did we? Maybe. Don't know. Well, I remember it so clearly. Like, I literally remember, like, the Sunday school wing of my home church and us all doing the song and what have you. And, oh, man, it was so classic for me. You know, and so like this morning, you're going to hear a little bit of my heart and kind of how I'm wired, and then a bit of a confession out of that. And you might be thinking, wow, this guy is weird, but it started as a kid, like the warrior spirit with that song was like being like thrust into me. Even as a five-year-old, I thought to myself, I'm in the Lord's army, right? Fast forward to preteens, I remember getting the book, The Chronicles, or the series, The Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. I remember the final battle scene where like Aslan and the White Witch were facing off, and the masses came, and I just envisioned this like collision of like forces, just right? Then I got to be a teenager, and I was introduced to these kind of historical, you know, epic war films. Braveheart was my first. Loved that show. There's this line in that show, oh, even today, like, whew, it's so good. It's, you know, every man dies, but not every man really lives. And I'm like, oh, yeah. But then there's like the scenes where these forces come, and I was like, one day that will be me. I will have my moment when I will like charge the line, if you will, right? Then in my 20s, like, I was super fascinated with the last days, which I've learned a few things about, and we're in the last days, have been since then, but anyways. So I started reading Revelation a lot, and then there's this part in Revelation, you can find this in chapter 19, verses 11 to 21, and like you see the rider in the white horse, and you see the heaven's armies with him, and him approaching the beast and the armies. I was like, my moment. This is it. I was like, this is what I was created for. I'm in the Lord's army. Like, I was like, that's it, right? And then the more I studied that passage, I got to the end in 21, and I found myself initially disappointed. I'm just being honest with you. Because it simply ends with Jesus and the Word God comes from his mouth, and boom, the enemy is silenced, wiped out, crushed. Just takes the breath, the word of Jesus. I don't even get to fight. I was so disappointed when I first realized that. Now, I have since come to realize that there was like a glory pride issue in there, and it's never been about my glory and my opportunity to like have that moment. It is, was, always will be about Jesus and his glory, and it only takes a word. And why do I share that? I share that because a few weeks ago, Pastor Dan was speaking, and I had an epiphany as he was speaking that actually connects to the passage that we're coming to in Ephesians today that really for the first time allowed me to make sense of the whole of this passage. See, I had always had this thought or this sense that one day there would be this gathering of this beaten, battered, ragtag group of, you know, folks of faith behind the rider. And it would really just show like how powerful he is, because really we're not going to win a fight at all, if you will. And it solely shows the glory and the power and the awesome presence of Jesus, as we would just stand there and be like, that's his backup, and he doesn't even need it because we're useless. And then Pastor Dan was talking about grace from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 7 to 10. And he talked about three types of grace. And the first one he talked about was future grace. And he spoke into something that I had never thought of. And as he was speaking, I literally had this picture form in my mind where there we were, the beaten, battered, ragtag army of Jesus, if you will. And Jesus pointing to us and saying, see, look, you want to know how immensely gracious and loving and kind I am? Look at these guys. And he talked about it, how in this future age, if you will, the heavenlies, the angelic hosts would look on us and we would be like the evidence, if you will, of just how immensely loving and gracious God is. That's when I'm going to shine. That's nothing to do with charge and taking the line. But as one who serves as evidence to the love and grace of God, it'll be my moment to shine there. Anyways, that picture, that epiphany moment, so helped me understand a part of the passage that I had never been able to wrap my head around until that moment. We're going to get to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, and I'm going to read that for you in just a moment. So go ahead, you could turn there or use whatever device you're using at home. Before I do, let's just quickly recap this. Remember, the theme of Ephesians is that we are united with Christ. It is so overwhelming in the first three chapters that you absolutely cannot miss it. It comes out again and again and again. We are united with Christ. And Ephesians chapter 2, in fact, starts with that, being united with Christ. And this being united with Christ actually then brings us into the heavenly realm where we have access to the throne room. And not only do we have access to the throne, but we have the access because of the very grace we just talked about. It is by grace we are saved. By the way, let me pause on that. If you're tuning in and watching this and you've been longing to just find and connect with God, you've been sensing there is something missing in your life, it's that you were created to be in relationship with God. And he's always wanted to walk with you. He never once walked from you. In fact, we walked from him when we turned to our sinful ways, our wicked ways, our addictive tendencies, our evil thoughts, desires. But Jesus came. God came, took on the form of a human being, took on my sin, your sin, and paid for it at the cross so we could come to him and find forgiveness, and thus come back into relationship with God. This brings us to the place where we can say we are saved by faith through grace. That's the grace of Ephesians 2. If you need that, it starts by simply coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, here, my life, it's yours. By grace we are saved. And this grace that saves us again, unifies us in Christ. In fact, as it goes on in chapter 2, it breaks down the walls of hostility, the literal physical walls, the metaphorical walls of the heart, the walls in Ephesus that we see so clearly exist because of class, because of ethnicity, because of race. These things in Jesus come crashing down. He unifies his people and he makes one people. He makes one family, and we are the dwelling place of God. And then as it goes into Ephesians 3, it talks about how we are those who share equally in the rich inheritance of God. This is so powerful for us to realize and consider, and we need to keep this at the forefront of our mind as we head into Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. It reads like this. See, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which is carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, this passage is so important for us today. I mean it when I say there may not be a more important message that I speak or passage that I speak on in all of 2020 and 2021 in light of what's going on in our world, in our country, in our province, in our very own community, and even in our local church family. There's something more important than this right now, I'm sure of it. God's purpose in all this was to use his church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. I want to pause on the heavenly places and then circle back. I've unpacked this with us before, but we need to just recap it. The main theme of Ephesians is that we are united in Christ. It's going to come out again. But there's this sub-theme, this secondary theme that you see throughout the passage as well, and it's the heavenly places or the heavenly realms. The first one we find it, and I'm going to reread them. I know I've read them before, but I want to make sure we're all up to speed. Chapter 1, verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. There they're linked. The major theme and the sub-theme. Because we're united with Christ, we're blessed with every blessing in the heavenly realms. Then fast forward to verse 20. I'll start just before it in 19. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. So in this heavenly realm, we see Jesus is seated there. Fast forwarding, chapter 2, verse 6. He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. So there we have the major theme, being united with Christ. And because we're united with Christ, we are seated with Jesus even now, right now, as we gather in the heavenly realms, in the heavenly places. So you and I who have faith in Jesus, we are present in this heavenly place. Our spirit, our eternal spirit has access to this heavenly place even now. Think about that the next time you intercede on behalf of someone. Realize you are in the throne room of grace because you are united with Christ. Pray from that position. Fast forward to where we are today. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom and its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. I'll put it out there and we're going to come back. We're talking the angels and the demons, all right? The angels and the demons, the rulers and the authorities are present in this heavenly realm or heavenly places. And there's one more just to fully clarify. It's chapter 6, verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So there's no question in our mind that we're also talking about the demonic from this part of the book as well. These spiritual entities are in this heavenly place as well. So you have God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit in this heavenly place. You have us as believers in this heavenly place, in this heavenly realm, and you have both angelic and demonic beings in this heavenly realm. God's purpose in all this. I love talking about like mission stuff because it kind of goes back to my Lord's Army moment, right? Like in mission kind of sounds like, well, we've got a mission, right? And so I realize that the mission of the church is to love God and to love others. And you could look at, I won't say every, but many, many other churches and see some form of that statement, right? Totally true. Not an inaccurate statement, but God's purpose. We are coming to a mission, and we're going to see it's for the church that you don't see in any church. At least I haven't seen it yet. Any church's mission statement, but it's right here that God's purpose in all this was to use the church. God's purpose, God's mission is to use the church. That's us who through faith have been saved by grace, that ragtag, battered, beaten bunch, right? Us, the church, God's purpose also was to use the church, get this, to display his wisdom. What? Come on now, this ragtag, battered bunch. Just saying, the book says, God's purpose, to use the church, display his wisdom. Some translations say manifold wisdom even. To display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Let me start with the angelic part of the rulers and authorities. I never understood this. Not until Pastor Dan spoke a few weeks ago. I had never clued into how to reconcile that thought. Because I thought to myself, the angels are already in the presence of God fully. They see, they recognize him in all of his glorious splendor. There are those who forever cry out, holy, holy, holy. How side note, this just popped into my head. I totally, wait. You want to talk about a repetitive worship song. All eternity, they just go, holy, holy, holy. That's it. That's how glorious and splendid God is. Anyways, there they are. Why in the world would the angels need us to help reveal the wisdom of God? I could not reconcile that in my mind for the longest of time until a few weeks ago when I realized we're part of that future grace. That together we stand as this broken, battered, ragtag army of God, if you will. And Jesus is able to point to us and say, look, do you see how loving and gracious I am? To go a step further. In the context of Ephesians as a whole, as we've already outlined, the purpose, or God's purpose in all this, is to use the church, a church that is united in Christ, because it's all the way through the book. When we, as the church, embrace this reality that we are united in Jesus, regardless of our differences, regardless of our opinions, regardless of whatever you want to throw out there, when we are united in Jesus first and foremost, it's a display of God's wisdom to the heavenlies, to the angels, where they can see that these ragtag, battered, beaten bunch, this army of God, it was Jesus. Only Jesus that brought them together. And it brings glory to God as the wisdom of his plan is unveiled and they see us as a testimony of the unified church of Jesus. Hang on that thought, I'm coming back to it. Take the other class, if you will, the demonic side of those that would be present there. We, the church, are purposed by God to display his wisdom to the demonic forces of hell. And when we are centered fully in and united on the name and the person of Jesus, we shame the demons. And never before in our generation has there ever been a greater time than to show we are united in Christ than in 2020, 2021, in the midst of COVID, where pretty much every family, every people group, every organization, including every church that I've talked to, is polarized by differing opinions. Now, unity doesn't mean we have to agree. We've touched that on before. Unity is not uniformity, right? But when we actually love and respect and even cherish one another and show that we are united in Christ despite those things, man, we display God's wisdom that Jesus is enough. He unites us. The person, the name, the presence of Jesus brings us together. It displays his wisdom to both the angels and the demons. We shame the demons in that. This is our charge moment. This is it, where we, the church, could be a part of displaying the manifold wisdom of God by allowing us to just be simply united in Jesus. It displays God's wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus. How incredible is that, that God longs to use you and me, and today, more than any other time in our generation, we can charge by just being united in Jesus. As the book of Ephesians talks about all the way through, as we can be united in him, knowing that we have all been saved by grace, and we make up this battered, bruised, ragtag army of God. And that this brings down the walls of hostility in us. That we form God's people, God's family, God's dwelling, and together we share equally of his rich inheritance. This is our charge moment, church, where God would use us to display his wisdom to the unseen rulers, the angels and demons in the heavenly places. Oh, that we would be united at such a time as this. It's our time. There's no mistaking that Jesus placed us here for such a time as this, to bring him glory as we're united in his name. And so again, I leave you with a thought this week. Love on someone that thinks different, that looks different. Love on them for no other reason than the fact that you've received the love of Jesus. This is our charge moment to be united in Christ. God's purpose in all this was to display his wisdom to the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And God's placed you exactly where he wants you for such a time as this. So in his name, go love someone. God bless. Have a great week.